Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
We are one movement, one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. And we will make America great again.
Well, welcome, friends, to Praying for America. That's what we're praying for America to be saved and to be made great again. I'm pro-life leader Frank Pavone. I head up one of the world's largest pro-life groups, Priests for Life. And for those of you that are regulars of the program, oh, it's always great to be with you. And we're newcomers all the time. By the way, there are people only you can reach. I mean, we're advertising this program all the time, but there are folks only you can reach, and we appreciate you sharing this video, especially while you're watching it. Invite others that you think may be interested to know about these programs. That's the main way we grow. So this is going to be a short week, by the way. This is Holy Week, as you know, and traditionally we take a little break on this program starting Wednesday night. So we'll do tonight, we'll do tomorrow night. But then we'll have a break for the holy days of Easter as well as Easter Monday. And then we'll be back Tuesday, April 2nd. We'll be here with you tomorrow. And then we'll resume a week from tomorrow with our regular programming. And tomorrow we'll reflect a little bit more about the significance of these holy days that I know so many of you will be celebrating with great, great faith. So, look, the lawfare against President Trump is backfiring. He's continuing to dominate. He's continuing to win. We're going to reflect on that from a couple of different perspectives tonight. That is our theme here. And being what we are in Holy Week, you know, I don't do this to compare anyone with Jesus. That's not our intention here. But the dynamics of the enemies of Jesus, who are the enemies of God and the enemies of truth, are the same dynamics as those very same enemies use today. And that's the comparison I'm making. And not a comparison between the victims, but a comparison between the enemies and their tactics, because they're the same enemies. Those that attacked, tried to stifle the teachings of Jesus, tried to oppose his truth, aren't they the ones opposing the truth that you and I stand witness to, the truth on which America is based? Isn't that the same kingdom, the same truth that we are proclaiming today? Well, we have the same enemies that Jesus had. Ultimately, Satan himself. And he uses the same tactics. So I want to read for you a section of the Passion account that that reveals this. You'll see so many of the parallels here. Well, let's go to John's Gospel, going to chapter 18, starting with verse 19. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? Jesus answered him, If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if I said what is right, why do you strike me? Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas. Down to verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered him, If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the word Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "Truth, what is that?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Let us pray. Father, we are facing a battle in America over truth. We are facing a severe war in America by which the enemies of truth try to snuff out all those who proclaim it, all those who are associated with those who proclaim it, all those, Lord God, who believe in you and in the doctrine that has been handed down from the time of Jesus. Lord God, this is an intense warfare. The enemy is trying to snuff out the truth from the minds of our children, trying to snuff out the truth from the minds of our fellow citizens, and trying to intimidate us to speak this truth. Lord, this battle over truth has become the political battle of our time, the political battle in this election. No longer is it simply a choice between candidates or parties, but rather between truth and falsehood, indeed between common sense and insanity, between good and evil. Allow your people, Lord God, to see both what is at stake and what are the tactics of the enemy. Simply designating the opposition as evil, simply inciting the crowds to reject what is good. Nothing more than that. Nothing different than that. No semblance of justice. No semblance of a rationale. No identification that those that they are punishing have done anything wrong. But simply brute force in the service of evil. That's it. Brute force in the service of evil. Lord God, we stand with Christ, and therefore we know we will be persecuted. We stand with Christ, and therefore we will be the object of this brute force of evil against good. Lord God, we are willing to endure this attack. We are willing to engage in this warfare, because this is the route to our salvation and to saving this nation and making it great again. May we absorb the hatred and violence, and through the power of love, transform this suffering we experience into good for the well-being of our souls and of the nation. We pray through the one who was crucified and is risen again, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, friends, it's as clear as day. Brute force of evil against the powers of good. That's it. That's how the Democrats are trying to win this election. There's nothing more. They have no positions. They have nothing good that they've done for the American people. They have no good they want to do for the American people. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't respect our history. They care nothing about our country. It's the brute force of evil against good. That's it. You expect them to justify what so many call a double standard of justice, how they're treating Biden, how they be treating Trump? It's not that it's a double standard. It's like Dan Bongino says, it's one single standard, hierarchy, power, or what I'm calling here, brute force of evil against good. That's it. Pilate didn't have any double standard there. It was just brute force of evil. He was just weak, cowardly. When the crowd said Barabbas, he went along with them. Meanwhile, he asked the right question, what evil has this man done? Well, Jesus had done no evil. What evil have those who are being politically persecuted in this country, including so many of you and me, when we're being persecuted, when we're being sidelined and silenced and canceled, what evil have we done? What evil has President Trump done? What evil has Peter Navarro done? We're going to talk about him in a moment. The answer is none. In fact, it's just the opposite. Because they are a threat to the ruling class, because they are a threat to the elites, because they are a threat to those who are trying to use brute evil against good, because they are a threat to those who hate this country and compromise on the truth, that's why they're being silenced and sidelined and imprisoned. Holy Week. It's got a deep political meaning for us this year. And we can't afford to miss it. Wish the pastors would wake up across America. Some are. Of course, then they get silenced and sidelined too. But pastors need to wake up and realize this is the time for politics in the pulpit, because politics has become brute force of evil against good. And what's the church supposed to be if not standing up for good in the face of evil? This is all converging now. The traditional ways of dividing these things up doesn't work anymore, friends. It doesn't work anymore. We've got to identify and expose these things and talk about them clearly. So few pastors have not only the courage, but even the insight and the basic knowledge to be able to do this. Maybe you and I together can change a few of them by constantly repeating what we're talking about here. Okay. Well, let's go right to the top, first of all. President Trump himself. Today, this has been a developing news story, especially over the last few days, as today was a deadline of this ridiculous, almost $500 million bond, you know, in order for that he had to post in this ridiculous case that has absolutely no basis, except Letitia James' campaign slogan for running for Attorney General of New York. Oh, I'm going to get Trump, he overstated the value of his properties. Yeah, right. And nobody was defrauded. Nobody was displeased. Nobody was complaining. Everybody got repaid with interest. Everyone was happy. The banks weren't complaining and said they'd do business with him again. There were no victims. There was no crime. But oh yeah, $500 million just like that. These people are sick. Now, a number of very, very recent developments occurred with this case. Most recently, of course, today, as you no doubt have heard, an appeals court in New York ruled that the bond should be reduced to a much, much smaller amount and he should be given more time, to the tune of another 10 days, instead of $500 million, $454 million to be exact, it should be only $175 million. Of course, it should be zero because there's nothing here. All of this is election interference. Oh, let's take the money away from him so that he can't use it to campaign for president. Let's make all these trials happen and all these court appearances be imposed on him so he can't be doing what? Out on the campaign trail. For every moment he can't be out on the campaign trail, you and I will be campaigning for him. and we'll be speaking up and we'll be shouting from the rooftops what it means to make America great again. He can count on that. His team can count on that. But of course, he's not going to be silenced anyway. But we had this good development here today, relatively speaking. But, you know, beyond that, of course, we had the other development the other day about the Trump Media and Technology Group, which runs Truth Social, being merged with a special purpose acquisition company, Digital World Acquisition Corporation, a publicly traded shell company. Let me read for you the details. The merger approval means TMTG, that's Trump Media and Technology Group, stock will trade on NASDAQ as DJT as early as next week. So former President Trump has 78.7 million shares in the Trump Media and Technology Group, which means his personal stake in the company at its current stock price of about $44.17 would be worth between $3 and $4 billion. So this is it's an act of genius. Dick Morris was commenting on this over the weekend. You see how this man is able to, it's the culmination of the art of the deal. He's able to manage money, not in a crooked way, in an intelligent way. And of course, you've got so many morons who are on the other side of the political aisle who, because they're morons, they can't recognize brilliance when it's staring them in the face. And because they themselves are corrupt, besides being moronic, all they can interpret reality as is either corrupt or moronic. And so they're stuck in their ignorance. Meanwhile, we're witnessing some of the greatest brilliance in American leadership and financial leadership that one can find anywhere. By the way, something too that Matt Whitaker said the other day, and I like this, this was before these other developments had unfolded, but when there was the threat that, actually they're going to seize President Trump's properties and so forth, he made this point. Let me just quote him. He said, here's the concern. As they pursue these properties, and if they start seizing properties next week, this obviously was from last week he was saying this, then ultimately I think that is only going to make President Trump more politically powerful. More politically powerful. Of course, for the very same reason that the indictments themselves and the charges contained in the indictments have made him stronger, have made the polling continue to go up. We'll say something about the polling. I want to say something about the polling, and I want to say something about Peter Navarro, and all of this, of course, in the light of the word of God. The enemies of truth, remember, this is brute evil against good. No rationale. Okay, Letitia James, what exactly is the, who was injured here? Well, first of all, what was the crime? And secondly, if there's a crime that someone's being prosecuted for, who exactly are the victims? Who lost a dime for whatever nonsense you're asking President Trump to put up $500 million for? Who lost a dime? Who lost a penny? You? Was it you? These people are sick. With the sickness, brothers and sisters, I will take it one step further. President Trump always says these people are sick. They are. And that's an understatement. Because the type of sickness they have, and this is why we have to vote them completely out of power, the type of sickness they have, here it is, folks, I'm holding the word of God, is the same sickness of the enemies of Jesus. Again, we're not comparing anybody to Jesus. It's the enemies. It's the same sickness that led them to reject Christ. What wrong, Pilate said, what wrong has he done? Pilate was a coward. He was weak. But he asked the right question. What wrong has he done? And we can ask that of everybody who's being politically persecuted today in America. Of what crime is he guilty? Same sickness, brute power of evil against good. All right. Okay. Meanwhile, you've got this lazy, incompetent President Biden. I just want to point this out. No lengthy commentary needed. recently just got off of his 448th vacation day as president. He has spent 39% of his presidency on vacation. Now, look, it all makes sense, really, because he was vacationing while he was supposed to be campaigning, because he knew he didn't have to. First of all, he couldn't gather a crowd, but he knew also that he didn't have to, because he had all these other people. Yeah, we'll take care of it for you there, big guy. We'll take care of it all for you. Don't worry. We got it in the bag. Never been a more corrupt person in the White House. Never been a more incompetent president in our history. Never. We are living through historic times. You had the best president, succeeded by the worst president, now about to be succeeded again by the best president. We've got to save this country. And we're on the brink here of losing it, and we've got to pull it back in a strong, definitive way. Now, polling is encouraging right now. Let me go through a couple of things from our friends, the McLaughlin brothers, John and Jim McLaughlin. If you don't know McLaughlin, look up McLaughlin Associates. You see some great polling. They do polling for President Trump. And they've done some polling for us. So we at Priest for Life have used them for polling on the abortion issue in regard to the elections. We've talked about that on other programs. Let me read some of this article that just came out the other day. First of all, in regard to all these this political lawfare that's been going on, Putin over there in Russia just won re-election by 88%. That's quite a percentage, right? He jailed his leading political opponent. Oh, what is he doing? He's imitating American tactics over there? Or is it the other way around? Some people claiming to be Americans who really hate America imitating Russian tactics. He jailed his leading political opponent, Alexei Navalny. Hey, Alexei, you got some... You want to talk to the Democrats here in the United States? I think you guys have something to talk about. Well, unfortunately, he can't because he died in prison. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So in the new national poll, 56% of voters think that Biden really wants to stop President Trump from winning the election by putting him in jail. This is what they're hoping for. This is what they're bargaining on. Of course, they got no record to run on. It's a record of destruction. So they can't talk about the border. They can't talk about the issues. This is why President Biden, in the ridiculous, shameful excuse of a State of the Union address, didn't even get to the key issues that are on most Americans' mind until 45 minutes into the speech, and then he hardly said what had to be said anyway. But the American people are seeing through all this. 56%. No, what Biden is doing here, he's trying to get President Trump to not win the election by putting him in jail. Oh, again, doesn't that ring all kinds of bells of as being like, this is the American way, right? If you want it to be the American way, the Democrats are your guys. If you think this is insulting, if you think this is a betrayal of the American way, then President Trump is the one you want, and the Republicans are the ones you want in office. Only 30% say in this poll that it's not true that Biden is trying to jail Trump. This is an interesting poll. Breaking it down a little bit more, it's not a partisan issue. Independents agree that Biden is seeking to jail Trump by 50-33. And moderates agree, 48-32. Democrat constituencies have a negative view of Biden's actions. African Americans, 41%, Hispanics, 53%, women, 53%, all agreeing He's just trying to put him in jail to win the election. You got to be a pretty darn weak candidate as far as the voters are concerned to have to try to jail your opponent in order to win an election. Win an election the American way, by persuading the voters and then having them vote in a free and fair way. That's all. You make your case, freedom of speech, and then you have them the voters decide, freedom to vote. That's how it works. So what's all this happen? What's happening here is President Trump is truly becoming a sympathetic victim, which is what led Matt Whitaker to make those statements about what would happen if they did try to seize his property. And we see, I mean, look at these other findings. We see all these numbers. 67%, politics has indeed played a role in the indictments of President Trump. This is a poll of voters. 58%, Biden has played a role in the indictments of Trump. You think it's because Trump committed crimes or because he has political enemies? 56 to 31% say there's a double standard at the DOJ and the FBI and the IRS. Again, not a double standard. It's power. It's a single standard of power, hierarchy. They can, they're in power. They can do what they want. That's what it is. 52 to 38% say the indictments against Trump were done because he leads in the polls and they want him stopped. 58 to 34% said Trump should stop targeting Trump, stop interfering in the election, and oh, what do you think of this idea? Let the voters decide who the next president will be. Wow. What a concept. Peter Navarro is in jail. This, again, is unprecedented and totally outrageous. Peter Navarro, ex-White House aide to former President Trump, had to report the other day to federal prison in Miami. He is the first former White House official to be imprisoned for something that, look, many people have done. That is contempt of Congress, not showing up. Congress calls you to come in and testify. You don't cooperate. You don't show up. So Navarro had refused to comply with a subpoena from Congress. And people might say, oh, well, you know, why would you do that? And that is the nub of the issue. Why would he do that? And why would they do this to him? It's not what it appears. It's not because Peter Navarro has a disrespect for the law. Quite on the contrary, he's upholding law. This had to do with the January 6th committee, which was a farce, an unconstitutional political clown show. You know, President Trump calls it the unselect committee. Okay, the select committee about January 6th that Pelosi and her company of clowns threw together. You put something together like this, what you're supposed to have is a bipartisan committee. So you're supposed to have an actual representation of Democrats and Republicans on the committee. They didn't have any Republicans who had any loyalty to the Republican Party or to President Trump whatsoever. It was a Democrat clown show. You have a committee like this, you're supposed to have attorneys representing each side, equally being able to do what? To call witnesses, to ask questions, to present evidence, to cross-examine. None of this happened. This was a clown show. January 6th committee, a bunch of crap. And that's exactly what tens of millions of us believe, what Peter Navarro asserted. And he says, I'm not going to, why should I cooperate with this? I wouldn't cooperate with it either. I don't think any of you would either. You see what's going on here. It's a sham. It by itself, from, see what happens with so many of these things. You got to go to the root. You got to go to square one. You got to go to ground zero. From its inception, it's wrong. They say, oh, the reporting about Navarro. Oh, well, he was so uncooperative with Congress. Of course, he should go to jail. First time it's happened, friends. And what this does now, you got to think of how it affects anybody who's working for the president. Oh, am I going to be politically prosecuted. What did Navarro claim? That the things that they were going to ask him about are covered by executive privilege. You have to be free to speak. You have to be free to get information, give advice, have conversations that are totally open and honest when you're serving the president of the United States without keeping you looking over your shoulder. Oh, and 4 years from now, am I going to be thrown in jail for conversation I'm having right now? We can't have that. This is why immunity exists. Executive privilege exists. You got to be free to talk. You got to be free to think. You got to be free to decide. And they say, well, because of what Navarro's non-cooperation with Congress, that puts him, one of the quotes here from his critics, oh, it puts him far afield from the type of back and forth that other former officials typically have had with lawmakers over their participation in congressional probes. Don't talk to me about what's far afield. What's far afield is the farce and the circus of the January 6th committee in the first place. That's what's far afield of anything that's ever been done in the United States Congress. Don't give me this garbage about what's far afield in Peter Navarro's actions if you're not going to talk about what's far afield in the actions of Nancy Pelosi and this corrupt committee. What a sham. What a bunch of crap. The lawyers wrote to the Supreme Court, the lawyers for Peter Navarro, in an effort to get them to intervene in this before he had to go to prison, which the court denied. The prosecution of a senior presidential advisor asserting executive privilege conflicts with the constitutional independence required by the doctrine of separation of powers. Not once before Dr. Navarro's prosecution has the Department of Justice concluded a senior presidential advisor may be prosecuted for contempt of Congress following an assertion of executive privilege. But you know what? Let me throw this out there for you. The bottom line here, and Dick Morris, if you get his book about corrupt, his book called Corrupt, about the Biden crime family and the dark money, you'll see what I'm talking about here. Navarro represents a particular kind of threat to Biden, the deep state, and the Democrats because of what he knows about China. What Peter Navarro knows about China and the threat he poses to the Democrats' alliance with China is what's really at issue here, and this is why they are prosecuting him. This will all come out. You know what the scripture says? Nothing is hidden that will not be revealed. It takes time. It takes painful effort, but it will come out. Take note of that, and we'll get back to with more commentary about that as time goes on. But meanwhile, get Dick Morris's book called Corrupt. Let's go back to prayer because there's a lot here to pray. Father, we pray for Peter Navarro and for all those who are persecuted for justice's sake. Lord God, this man did nothing wrong. We pray that the unconstitutional, erratic, totally off-the-wall actions, the very composition, the very manner of behavior of this January 6th committee, the clown show that we witnessed, that may be held to account one day. That the way in which our nation went off the track, the way in which Congress went off the track with that scenario may be called to account one day. Father, we ask for your guidance on this nation. We ask for your help. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your blessing upon President Trump and his team as they continue to deal with this ridiculous prosecution from Letitia James. And Lord God, we pray that she too will be held accountable for this absolute travesty of justice, this absolute disregard for America and for America's greatest leader. How filled with shame these people should be. They should not be prosecuting our former president. They should be honoring him. talking about the mishandling of money by the man who did more for this nation's economy than anyone in history. How completely upside down, Lord God, can things be? How much more in need of your Spirit can we be? Your Spirit is needed here in America, and we, the body of Christ, invoke that Spirit now. Upon America, every leader, every pretend leader, every actual leader, everyone who wants to be a leader, we ask your Spirit to be poured out on the voters. Give them wisdom in this election, Lord God. We need your wisdom. As the primaries continue, let the voters continue to come out. Even though the nominees have been chosen, let the voters continue to come out to show the support they have, to make clear where they stand, and to activate both themselves and other voters in preparation for the general. We pray now in the words that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, again, thanks for joining me. We'll be back tomorrow night. That'll be our last program till Easter tomorrow. And we'll take a little Easter break. But please be with us tomorrow. Bring in as many others as you can. And we'll talk to you then.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.